Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, after years of challenges and the crippling impacts of 3 years of the COVID-19 pandemic, healthcare across Canada is looking pretty bleak these days. Mounting costs, aging facilities, and major staffing shortages have led to unprecedented closures and delays, which has many worried, especially in rural northern communities. Staff shortages means hospitals and clinics don't have the capacity to support a growing number of patients, even declining services in some cases, which we've come to rely on as a first world country with a publicly run healthcare system. Here in the Bulkley Valley and other areas throughout the Northern Health Region, services are being interrupted, from emergency services to maternity. And if you're 8 months pregnant, that can be a lot of unneeded stress, not knowing if you have the doctors and nurses available to safely deliver your newborn close to home, possibly having to deliver in the emergency room or having to drive more than 2 or 4 hours away to deliver your baby. According to several expecting mothers in the Bulkley Valley, that's the reality, after they were recently told that they may have to deliver in the emergency room at the BV hospital if the maternity ward isn't properly staffed after 7 p.m., or they may need to drive to Terrace or Prince George to deliver their babies due to the staffing shortages. Although Northern Health Services or a representative from the provincial government was not available for this broadcast, we will bring you their response in the coming days. Today, we'll hear from expecting mothers and local businesswomen Jen Mio and Emily Schmidt, who are nearing 38 weeks and are uncertain as to where exactly they'll give birth, something they feel needs immediate action from the government of BC. I caught up with them in front of the offices for the Minister of Water, Land and Resource Stewardship and the Minister responsible for Fisheries and MLA for Stikine, Nathan Cullen, in downtown Smithers, where they were delivering a letter to the minister calling on the provincial government for help and support. Stay with us.
Name, please.
Jen Mio.
And?
Emily Schmidt.
And so Jen, I'll just do one at a time. So Jen, when are you due?
My due date is September the 17th.
And you know, what's kind of the issue right now? You just kind of explained a little bit of it. So there isn't a whole lot of space or capacity at the Smithers Hospital in the maternity ward. So maybe tell me a little bit about what you just recently found out approaching your due date about the possibilities of where you're going to have to give birth.
Right. So I've been informed that there is no guarantee that they'll be able to deliver my baby in Smithers due to insufficient staffing. And if they do, it may happen in the emergency room. And if I'm able to deliver in Smithers, I may be sent to Terrace or Prince George for further care should I need it, because they are not able to provide that here in Smithers. So even though I've started dilating and my labor seems to be progressing naturally, they have suggested to book an induction in a surrounding hospital. There is no guarantee they will have space for me in Terrace. And so the best option is a 4.5 hour drive, leaving my two other children behind and my husband, who has a business to run, so that I could hopefully get the care and support needed to provide the safe entrance of my baby.
Yeah. You just mentioned, so you have two other kids. This is your third child on the way. How is this different than the other two births?
Night and day difference. I felt supported. I felt like no matter what happens, regardless of how hard it is or what comes up, I have the care set in place should anything arise. I do not have that assurance. It is very worrisome. With my second child, I had 27 ruptured veins and spent 9 days in the hospital. And I'm going into this knowing most women with a third births have quicker births, completely terrified of what could happen and hoping for the best. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, you mentioned this is a first world country. We live in an area where, you know, billions of dollars come out of this area in terms of resource development and jobs and economy and whatnot. But our hospitals are suffering. So, you know, kind of what's your take on all of that being at the end of the stick, really, with this issue?
It's mind-boggling to me. The ball has been dropped, absolutely. There are nurses that are unvaccinated who are unable to work. There are medical staff and professionals who are completely burnt out because there has not been enough staffing for a long time. We knew baby boomers would need assistance and care. We do not have enough space in the hospitals for them, nor do we have enough long-term care facilities and staffing for those. Yeah. So it is a trickle-down effect that did not come out of nowhere. And my frustration lies with where was the proactive plan and what are we doing about it now? And how will we render this for people in the future? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not just pregnant women.
Yeah.
What about all those other people in our community of mm-hmm. all ages who need care and deserve the ability to know that despite a tragic circumstance, that there will be people there to aid them and help them and comfort them mm-hmm. in their time of need?
Yeah. Now, Emily, this is your first child. How are you feeling about how this is unfolding?
Well, it's fine until I found out the news. You know, you think you're going to be taken care of. You've been planning and growing a baby for 10 months and hoping that you would have adequate care for you and your baby. And now it feels like an afterthought. You know, my care feels like an afterthought. Now, not knowing what that's going to look like for me or my family, and being a first-time mom, I don't know what to expect. So there's a lot of unknowns going into it already. So hoping that you can have that care provided for you when you're going through it, regardless if it's your first or third, mm-hmm. it should be a priority, and it's not.
Yeah.
So it's become something that was so exciting, now has become this complete unknown, and I'm scared of where I'm going to end up.
Yeah. When are you due?
29th of September.
So that's like 3 weeks out, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So soon. And I mean, to make a plan this like late in the game, I mean, I still have time to plan, but the point is that we have a rural community with a hospital that's servicing 10,000 people and there's no adequate care provided and we need to now travel elsewhere. Thank goodness it's not the middle of winter where we're having to travel north on icy road conditions while we're in labor, but it's not sufficient. And what's the plan going forward?
Obviously, you know, COVID kind of, we talked a little bit about it, kind of, you know, took out quite a few nurses, experienced nurses, long time, you know, nurses, years, decades in some cases of experience, which is going to be hard to bring back. All this time, we've also seen this crisis coming, as you mentioned, Jen, for a long while, and now it seems like it's hitting this breaking point, especially in rural communities, right? We all have, you know, all these major communities have hospitals here, but they're all, you know, run down. Terrace is getting a new one, but it's, you know, slow going. And then the question it sounds like is how do you staff this place, right? If you have a big brand new hospital, how are you going to staff it? We all pay taxes for this. You both are business owners in the community and pay taxes. So how does it feel to, you know, be paying these taxes and not seeing the services that you expect and deserve being available?
Well, it's beyond frustrating. Like you pay into a system that's supposed to take care of you. And like Jen said, the ball has completely been dropped. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's a new problem that just arose overnight. Like where has the communication been? There's been a complete breakdown in communication. Mm-hmm. Your citizens and the people paying for this community in order for it to thrive are stuck on an island. We're stranded with no resources and expected to just make it up as we go while still paying into the medical system. It doesn't make sense to me that it's this big secret topic that hasn't been, we should be in the know. It should be a public service announcement. We should all be able to know what's happening with our medical, with our medical staff, with our hospital. And it's, yeah, it's ridiculous.
So just to be clear, so you guys had no knowledge of the situation going on at the hospital until like a couple of days ago?
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. So
and
this
we're
is
not looking for a free handout. We are looking to be taken care of with the taxpayer dollars that we provide.
Yeah. And we're looking for what is your plan of action? Mm-hmm. Where are we going to go going forward so that the community is taken care of?
Yeah.
Birthing in an ER that's already understaffed and overrun is not a solution. Driving 2 to 4 hours north is not a solution.
Yeah.
That's not the it's just a band-aid to a problem that's spiraling out of control.
Yeah. Heard Clay yesterday, she's like, well, I've delivered a lot of lambs.
I know, I was like, that's really cute, Jolene.
Yeah, and then she's like, we just take it out and
like,
tie its legs.
Shake them until they breathe. I was like, do whatever you gotta do.
But it actually sounds like a better option than delivering next to the Narcan patient and the like person getting collarbone set in and the across the curtain, the like unknown virus.
No, like 100%.
I'm just like,
and then I'm thinking too, I mean, we're down there in delivering in the ER. Not gonna have any maternity stuff, so there's no squat bar, there's nothing. The room's what, like, depending on if you get a private room, there's nothing. It's a bed. Like, they're not bringing down stuff for you to birth.
One nurse I talked to yesterday, she says, to my knowledge, and I haven't worked for the last 2 weeks, she says, to my knowledge, they have never delivered a baby in the ER in Smithers ever.
So we're guinea pigs?
Right?
Like, yeah. All the things that you need to utilize to birth are they're not accessible. Jen said, so if the doctor who's on call gets the maternity phone, whoever's coming to deliver, could potentially go upstairs and help deliver you in the maternity ward.
If there's room,
no nurses. You wouldn't get a nurse. So,
and then he's also still delivering in charge of
how many
the ER.
Other. And how do you be both?
Yeah. Well, and that's what Morgan, the maternity nurse yesterday, said. She's like, if there was a problem, I can't guarantee you're going to get great care, because if there's one doctor and no nurses and you and your baby both need help, they're going to have to choose.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how far we've come as women with rights and the healthcare
and
system that we thought we had.
I
didn't know that delivering a baby would be so risky in 2023.
Yeah, totally.
Because like, that is what scary... it's become. Basically, we can't provide you adequate care.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think like, oh, it's going to be fine. Like, everyone's trying their best, but it's not sufficient.
I know.
And we're just, again, talking from the pregnancy perspective.
Yeah.
Like, what about the kid who needs that urgent care?
Yeah,
or the heart attack patient, or the rodeo person who gets kicked in the head by a horse, or my in-laws who, you know, there's heart failure and
hospital just can't, like, our ER cannot, as a whole, take on everybody's problems at that capacity. Like, what's the solution?
So you guys have written a letter. You also mentioned that there are several other expecting mothers who are in the same situation, some, you know, dire. But you guys have written a letter to take to Nathan Cullen, our MLA here.
That's correct.
Who is also a minister, also sits in cabinet. So what's in the letter and what's the ask here? Because it sounds like there's a few things. Obviously, staffing is an issue, but it also sounds like communication is the biggest problem. Because you guys, it sounds like you would have made other arrangements if you had more lead time.
We're at the point where we can no longer fly in our pregnancies. I have options in Vancouver to stay near close proximity to many, many hospitals. And that option has now been taken away from me because I am no longer able to fly.
Yeah.
So I could have made other plans accordingly. At this point, A public service announcement is what we're requesting. We are also requesting answers. What are we going to do about this? How are you advocating for us? What are we going to do as an incentive to bring more healthcare professionals to our communities that desperately need them?
Yeah.
I would just repeat the exact same thing that Jen said. I feel like the lack of communication and the care provided that's needed that's not being offered now is a complete ball drop, and it's for our entire community. And so we're just looking for the respect given as community members, as mothers, as your neighbor, as your sister, that we're all being able to be looked out for. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for support, which should just be your basic human right.
And the power to choose. I do not want to be forced into an induction because that is what feels safest because it's the only option. It would be great to have the choice to allow this baby to come out when it is ready, because my body has already started progressing with that. But I am faced with, am I going to be okay if something happens to my baby, if it is delivered in the hospital here in Smithers in the ER, if there's no nurse and the doctor has to choose between my care and my baby's? Mm-hmm. It's an awful position to be in. Our geographical location should not jeopardize our health care. It's extremely disheartening, and it's an urgent matter that needs to be rendered, and I want answers.
Yeah. Okay. I guess at this point, the last question is, what's your plan right now? Like, what's your plan? You're both due in a couple of few weeks.
We're waddling down to the MLA office to give this darn letter. I've emailed it. I've sent it via Facebook. I called this morning, and I'm delivering this letter in person, as well as to my doctor's office, just to start advocating and get it out there. Like, this is what's going on. Hear other people's stories.
Yeah, and people need to be informed. People need to have the information to go forward with whatever care they need, whatever issue they're having, whether they're pregnant, whether they need to go get something looked after, a surgery, whether it's an emergency situation. Like, what we're looking for is some transparency.
Yeah.
And it feels like the healthcare is an afterthought.
Yeah.
And we want support for our staff that we do have. We do not want to lose anyone else.
Yeah.
And we want them to know, like, you're doing a dang good job, and you deserve to be in a place where you have support by your local government so that you can do the job to your best of your ability and provide for your community.
Yeah, like, and I've talked to many nurses who hate having to go to work because they can't provide the adequate care. And these doctors who are stretched thin, answering two different phone lines for two different sections of the hospital, that's not fair to them or the patients.
Yeah.
So you're stretching an already thin system thinner, putting pressure now on Terrace because you're offloading patients there who are going to then end up in the exact same situation we're in.
Yeah.
It's a domino effect.
Okay. Well, thanks for chatting and let me know the story, and good luck. I know it's a tough time and stressful.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.